Let us pray. Loving God, thank you for your word. Your word that reminds us that you do care for your people. But at the same time, challenges us to go out and be with your people. Help us, God, to hear it. To not only believe that it is the truth, but help us to have the will to follow it. This we pray in your Son's name. Amen. Many of you have either gone through helping a family member move out of a house that they have lived in for many years, or perhaps you have had to do the moving yourself. I'll never forget what it was like several years ago when Barbara's folks were going through the move from their relatively large home to a two-bedroom apartment that had limited space. Not unlike a lot of people in their situation, they had to figure out what to do with all of the stuff that they had accumulated over 55 years of marriage. And let me tell you, there was a lot of stuff. I must say, early on in the whole process, we were relieved to learn that they had a plan. And it didn't include the expectation that Barbara and her brother would want to fill their own basements and attics with all of their treasures. A friend of ours put us in touch with someone who does estate sales, Barbara's mom said over the phone. We'll have an estate sale, and then after that, a moving company will come in, do the packing, and move the little bit of furniture and few items that we are keeping. And then, since we don't need to get everything out right away, if you and Tom really want to help us out, you can come out a bit later to help us go through whatever is left in the house, as well as help us get settled in our apartment. You know, hang the pictures on the wall, you can help me arrange my kitchen, and we'll go out to eat. It won't be bad at all. Well, actually, we thought she sounded a little too cheerful about how smoothly she expected things to go, especially since we'd done this with my mom some years before. Yet, while we knew it wouldn't go without a hitch, we were hopeful. We were hopeful. We should have seen the handwriting on the wall when, after about a month, her mom called and said the estate sales guy had visited the house, only to be the bearer of bad news. You really don't have enough of the kinds of things that people are looking to buy to have your own separate sale, so I'll just take a few things and put them in another sale that I'm having at the same time. To make a long story short, when Barbara and I got out there, it was far from a few things left at the house still to go through. There were cupboards, cabinets, closets filled with stuff. The basement, well, it looked like it hadn't even been touched. Seriously. Mom, Barbara said, I thought you were going to get rid of most of this before you moved. Well, you know, I realized there's so much that I couldn't part with. I mean, the child's rocker over there, I sat in that when I was 3 years old. And here's the high chair that your dad sat in when he was a baby. And you had your own son and daughter's picture taken in it. And that set of dishes, well, that was given to me by the foreign exchange student when you stayed with us when you were 10. I can't give those up. And all those boxes over there, those are all of our slides from our family trip to Europe in 1963. And on and on and on. When she started talking about the Christmas wreath that her family friends had given them when they came over for dinner 30 years ago, Barbara and I had to come to grips with what was really going on. It wasn't as if she suddenly changed her mind about her desire to part with things. Her mind had been made up. It was more that her heart hadn't been in it in the first place. Her mind may have decided on what made sense. It might have told her what was the only way to go. But her heart, well, it had been in the business of preserving, embracing, keeping, holding on, even clutching to things all of her life. And we all know what that's about. We can all sympathize. To give up what feels near and dear is incredibly hard. Needless to say, Barbara and I had to regroup. We had to, and we worked like dogs. We organized stuff. We found extra storage space where they were living. We helped make more space for things in their apartment. And yes, we now have more stuff than we know what to do with in our basement and attic. Come on, kids, take it when you move out. Giving up is hard. No one is happy when they have to give up things. The heart has it, Pascal once said, the heart has its reasons, of which reason knows nothing about. Let me say that again. The heart has its reasons, of which reason knows nothing about. And we know that this is true in countless ways. And it's especially true when it seems that we are down to our very own survival, which is where we find both of the widows in our two passages from 1 Kings and from Mark today. In Mark, the widow is giving her last two coins to the temple treasury. Jesus makes it clear to us and to the disciples that she's giving away all that she has left. Could you and I give our last dime or pennies away, knowing that it would mean we'd have to go dumpster diving to eat from that point on? And perhaps the other question is that even right? I say this because this story, this about the widow's mite or the woman who gives her last two coins, has been the stuff of sermons for eons about giving until it hurts or giving all that you've got to God. I've even heard a few. Maybe I've even given a couple. However, we don't hear in this story that Jesus says, emulate this woman. I'm happy with what she's doing. We don't hear that. He just makes a statement of comparison of what she's giving compared to what those who have a lot are giving. In fact, I have a feeling that there is a touch of anger in him because at the very beginning of that passage of our section today, he says, beware of the scribes. They devour widows' houses. Now, widows didn't have anything, and life was hard unless their husbands, brothers, and other family members took care of them. And we can imagine that she'd gone to a synagogue service and the scribe or the Pharisee or somebody had stood up and said, give till it hurts. It was hurting. It was hurting. And I have a hunch that if he could have, Jesus would have gone up to that box, reached in, grabbed those two copper coins and maybe a few more, and given them back to her and said, here, you need these. Take care of yourself and your children. This story is not about the quantity of the gift. It's about the quality of the gift. Notice in our first king story, the woman is not impoverished by helping Elijah. Elijah asks for help and she kind of says, yeah, I'm down to my end here. Elijah said, we'll take care of it. And she is nourished and she's restored. God doesn't demand that people be impoverished. But God does demand that people give the best that they have to give to the ministry of God's church so that those who are impoverished physically, emotionally, and spiritually can be cared for and nurtured. However, what often happens is that God's ministry gets the dregs, the leftovers. And I know I've shared this one with you a bunch of times, but every year at this time, I remember the lady who called the Butterball Turkey Helpline. And she said, "I've got a turkey that's been frozen for 10 years. Do you think it's still good?" And they said, "Well, if it was wrapped airtight and kept at a certain freezing temperature constantly the whole time, it might still be good, but we kind of doubt it." And her response was, "That's what I thought. I'll give it to a church." Is Jesus happy? You know, when you work at food pantries, but when we've worked at the food bank, and you see some of the donations of food come through that you wouldn't even give to your worst enemy, you wonder, what are people thinking? It's easy to give from what we have left because it absolves us from any feeling of responsibility. If I have something left, I'll be glad to give it to the church or whatever other ministry. Many churches even do it with their mission budgets. We plug in a number saying, "This is what we want to do for mission." But if we don't get the money, that's where the cuts are made. Because, well, we can't cut anywhere else. There are churches that have in their bylaws a law that says their particular church has to give 10% of their budgets to mission. That is kind of the correction so that the budget can't be cut, because it's written in the bylaws. And you know, we can do the same thing with our pledge. By declaring ahead of time what we want to give to the church, we are saying we want to be responsible. We care. And we are held to that in our own family budgets. And so from that sense, we don't give from the dregs because we're giving from the top. We're giving from our abundance, not from what is left. In the coming weeks, you will once again be receiving a stewardship letter and pledge card from our church. I hope you will consider making a pledge if you have not made one in the past. But for all of us, I hope we will consider giving from the best that we have. And this is not just in terms of money, but this is also in terms of our time and our talents, and not just for the church, but to other organizations that we might be a part of. Give the best that you have. Put your heart into it. That's what made Jesus happy about this woman. She had her heart in it. She had to give up her last two coins. I want to close with a parable that I shared a number of years ago. It has a question, and I hope that its question will challenge us as we consider what we give to God, to God's people. To consider what we can give that will make Christ smile with joy. The parable comes from the book Tales of the Magic Monastery. A person asked me what I was looking for. "Frankly," I said, "I'm looking for the pearl of great price." He slipped into his hand, drew it out, said, "Here it is, take it." He just gave it to me. I was dumbfounded. And I said, no, but no, no, you don't want to give this to me. I mean, you don't want to give it up, do you? Why would you want to give it away? Keep it for yourself. And after a while of listening to all of my protestations, he said, look, is it better to have the pearl of great price or to give it away? Well, now I have it. I don't tell anyone. Because for some, there would just be disbelief and ridicule. You have the pearl of great price? Others might be jealous. Well, someone might even steal it. Yeah, I've got it. But you know, there's that question. Is it better to have it or to give it away? How long will that question rob me of my joy?